I have decided to follow Jesus.
Welcome to Search the Scriptures 24/7, a radio ministry of the Berean Call with T.A. McMahon. I'm Gary Carmichael. We're glad you could join us. In today's program, Tom begins a two-part series with guest, pastor, and author Tom Watson. Here's TBC Executive Director Tom McMahon.
Thanks, Gary. Today and next week, I have the privilege of talking to Tom Watson, who's the president of Bended Knee International, a missionary ministry that reaches out primarily to native people groups, both near and far. And by far, I mean Siberia, and near would be the tribal peoples of the American Southwest. Tom, welcome to Search the Scriptures 24/7.
Well, Tom, it's certainly a joy and privilege for me to join you today. Dave Hunt was a good friend, and
absolutely.
I'm a long-time follower of your ministry and the Berean Call, so it's just good for me to be here today.
Yeah, well, that swings both ways, Tom. We really appreciate what you've done and have done. You know, as you say, you've had a relationship with Dave and with me. We've had some functions when you were a pastor down in Texas, and it's just been great. Anyway, what I'd like you to do, Tom, is give our listeners some background regarding how you first got involved in mission work to indigenous peoples.
Well, I was called to the ministry at age 40, and so I left my secular work and graduated from Dallas Theological Seminary.
Mm-hmm.
I became a pastor in Texas for 20 years. But from day one of my salvation, I had a real heart for evangelism and still do. And I didn't want to spend all my time behind the pulpit and in the church. And I did want to do the work of an evangelist. So in 1987, I began going to the Navajo Reservation every opportunity that I had, both in Arizona and New Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And have been doing so now for nearly 30 years. So in 2002, I left the pastorate, and that's when we formed Bended Knee International as a mission organization. And we wanted to do that to continue the mission work among the Native Americans, but the Lord had also opened the door in Russia, in central Siberia, among the tribal and indigenous people there. So since 2003, I've gone to Russia 30 times, gone into hundreds of schools, shared the gospel, given away Russian Bibles, and planted three churches in the Republic of Tuva, north of Mongolia. So it's kind of been a gradual thing, getting more and more involved, it seemed, year by year.
Wow. Tom, in your experience, as you mentioned, starting off with the native tribes of Southwest America here in this country, between the tribes, are there unique differences, cultural differences between, let's say, the— now, so I pronounce this right, certainly Navajo, but is it the Hopi Indians?
Yeah, Hopi.
Hopi, okay,
yeah.
I knew.
Yeah, I've worked with the Hopi and the Apache and the Navajo, primarily, mm-hmm. and more so than any other, the Navajo. But, you know, as far as differences, they're all traditionally, they worship the creation, Father Sky, Mother Earth, and much more.
Mm-hmm.
For the most part, they're a matriarch society. The Navajos maybe show that more than the others. And their social orders, clans, are very clannish, to the point if you have a church made up of one clan, people of another clan won't even come to it just because they're so close to each other when it comes to clans.
Mm-hmm.
But all of them, you know, have the epidemic of government dependency and unemployment, alcoholism, domestic abuse going on. I think just last year read that the suicide rate among teens on the reservations was the highest in the nation. So they all seem to have those common things. Not a lot of differences, I don't think. But the difference between them and the rest of America is not all that great. You know, we're in a modern age, and they all have computers, access to the internet, television, cell phones. They're all exposed to the world. So I describe them just like I describe the majority of Americans, that the world's just more important to them than the things of God, by and large.
Tom, when you started, or even today, do you find any difficulties with regard to you not being a Native American?
Well, it takes many, many years to build trust among the Native Americans, and I understand why, both from governmental reasons to things that happened among missionaries and much more. And I would say it took me 10 years to really build trust among Native American pastors and leaders. And it just takes a long time. And once you get their trust, and I think you have to get it by, one, showing them that you're there really, that you're concerned about their spiritual condition and their people, and two, you have to do what you say, because you just have to keep your word, because that's, if you don't, the trust isn't there.
Right. Without the fruit of the Spirit, it's, you know, it's really at least it's works, and it's not works that people can respond to. I can understand that.
I remember just a few years ago, I went into Navajo Church, and Navajo pastor was preaching, and I was just sitting there. I was the only white person there in the middle of his sermon. He said, "My mother taught me never to trust a white man, never trust a white man." And he said, "I never trust a white man." Then he looked down at me and he pointed his finger at me and he said, "Except that one." So I knew I was in at that point.
Yeah, well.
But it takes some time, and I understand why they're so reluctant.
Of course. And even in our own lives, you know, those of us that have children and so on, look, we'd all say we love our kids to pieces, but sometimes we can't trust them. So trust is something that has to be earned. And obviously we do it with prayer and trying to reflect the Lord's light and life in our own lives. But trust is a bit different.
Right.
You know, you mentioned that obviously in this day, no matter what the indigenous tribe is in this country, they have all the technology. They have computers and cell phones and everything. So there are those influences. But Tom, from a spiritual standpoint, and we're going to talk about this a little later. We're going to talk about shamanism. But I'd like to get to some religious practices or beliefs within any of these tribes. Would you say that Roman Catholicism has been an influence?
Well, yes, it definitely has. I would say Mormonism's probably been a greater influence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Mormons convinced a lot of Native Americans that they were descendants of the Israelites, and this was a new promised land, and and finally DNA testing proved that they came from Siberia and not from Israel, so there was even a change in the Book of Mormon as a result of that, but Mormonism is certainly an issue there. But, you know, there's a strong push by the leaders, as they call them, their elders, to cling to the traditional religion of worship creation. They've had over 500 years of white man missions. Results aren't that good. About 60 years ago, they would have said, for example, the Navajos, about 20% of them would claim to be Christians. Now it's down to around 7%. And so there's been strong efforts by the Mormon Church, the Roman Catholic Church, more recent years, the health and wealth gospel, the rise of the Native American Church itself. But one thing that's interesting that a lot of people may not realize and may be surprised by this is that they're really over-proselytized. Group after group, church after church, mission after mission has been out there and thrown the gospel out. And I remember on my first trip there in 1987, I stopped coming into the reservation to get a bite to eat. And as I came out, a Navajo man was approaching me, and I was excited because I thought, well, this is my first chance to share the gospel. And when he got close, I realized he was under the influence of alcohol, but I thought, well, I'll share with him anyway. And I hardly got started, and he stopped me, and he quoted John 3:16, word for word. And I've often said, I've never found a Navajo who couldn't quote John 3:16. They all know it. And as a result of that, you know, we had to kind of change the emphasis of our ministry, and because everybody knows the gospel, but not everybody knows Christ. That's the difference.
Right.
And not much evidence of people walking with Christ. So we felt that was a pastoral leadership problem, so we changed gears and really began to work with the pastors and leaders.
Yeah, Tom, one of the reasons I asked that question is because, you know, if somebody has or believes that they have an understanding of Christianity, but it's based on, you know, the gospel according to Rome or something like that, that certainly distinctions have to be made. You know, we know even among Jews today. This seems a little off to the side, but many of them recognize, or in their own minds, they recognize Christianity as basically Roman Catholicism. So that they carry that that objection, yeah. which we know is not true. But I want to go back to Mormonism just for a quick second. How do they deal with the teaching among Mormons? I'm sure you're aware of this, that way back when the Mormons would bring indigenous people into their families and try and get them to change their color. It was called becoming white and delightsome through the righteousness of Mormonism. Have they ever responded to that?
Well, I've never had anyone really, Native American, say anything to me about that. What I have found is that, and not so much in Mormonism, if we go back to the Roman Catholic Church here, mm-hmm. that on the reservation, they're synchronizing the Native American religion with the practices of the Roman Catholic Church. Now, I don't know if that's happening in Mormonism or not. I'm not aware of it. It is. But I know it definitely is in the Roman Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can go to the Roman Catholic Church as a Native American and practice your chants, your dances, the creation
right.
worship, and it's all mm-hmm. blended in with the Roman Catholic ritual.
Yeah.
And what they don't see, whether it's Mormonism or Roman Catholic Church, they don't see the distinct differences between that and biblical truth. And it's not just a difference between Mormonism and Roman Catholic Church and biblical truth. It's a difference between heaven and hell. It's
right.
About as serious as it could be, and but they don't say often. A Native American will say to me, "Well, why can't we have both? Why can't we have your religion and ours? Why can't we put them together?"
Mm-hmm.
Well, they just won't go together.
No, they're diametrically opposed to one another. And going back to to Roman Catholicism, what you've just described has been the way that Roman Catholicism has spread throughout the world. They mm-hmm. they see what the belief system is, and then they syncretize. They bring in beliefs that seem to conform. You've probably heard the statement that, or at least the saying, that those in Haiti they're 85% Roman Catholic, but they're 100% Voodoo or Voodoo,
mm-hmm.
and that has been the way they've gone about it. And what's mm-hmm. what's amazing today, I don't want to get off track here, but we see that now influencing evangelical Christianity.
Very much so.
Yeah. So because the church now has, since Vatican II, has become more evangelical, quote unquote.
Mm-hmm.
And with a lack of discernment, it's easy to say, oh, yeah, well, they love Jesus, but it's not the biblical Jesus. Tom, what are the differences between you minister to people in Siberia, and as I said, we're going to talk about this more as we go on. But in Siberia, what would be some differences between ministering there and then ministering among the Navajos?
Yeah, well, they're both tribal and indigenous people, so
mm-hmm.
you know you're going to expect a lot of similarities, which I've already mentioned. You know, like some of the poorest areas in the United States are the reservations. We were in the Republic of Tuva 10 years, and it's called the welfare state of Russia. It's a poor district in the former Soviet Union. So a lot of unemployment and all those things that go with it. About 5 years ago, I took a Navajo pastor with me to Siberia, and it was amazing because he felt right at home. He said, this is just like being at home. You know, the traditional home was just like his Navajo hogan. They were shepherds, and he was a shepherd boy. He even was picking up on the language, which I couldn't pick up on at all, the Tuvian language. It was just amazing how similar
mm-hmm.
Those things were. But there are a lot of differences, too. Now, in Tuva, now this is right north of Mongolia. It became part of the Soviet Union during World War II. But Dalai Lama has been there two or three times, and what they've done, they synchronized Buddhism with shamanism, which is, like what we talked about, Roman Catholic and Native Americans. I mean, this type of thing is just going on all over the world. Now, the Buddhists, no doubt, are the stronger of the two. But that's what's happened there. Now, I would just say this as far as the difference. I think Native Americans are far more superstitious than Siberians.
Hmm.
And, you know, Native Americans can still have a real hang-up with being around something dead, or if a coyote crosses a road in front of them, you know, it's kind of like worse than a black cat, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It was interesting because the Navajo pastor went with me. We had a day in Moscow, and I said, well, what do you want to do? You know, we got a day here before we're going to fly on to catch our flight into Siberia. And he didn't know. I said, well, you know, you want to go down to Red Square and down to Kremlin? And so, oh, yeah, I'd like to do that. So I took him down there, and it happened to be one of the days when Lenin's tomb was open. And so I said, you want to go in and see Mr. Lenin? I said, it'll prove to you one thing, that Lenin is dead and Jesus is alive.
Right.
And he was so reluctant because of his background. You know, mm-hmm. He's so superstitious still, even as a Christian. You know, he really struggled with the idea of entering into the presence of something that was dead. So they're probably more superstitious than the Siberians.
Yeah.
But, you know, another difference is you know, Siberians don't live very long. They, you know, the average life expectancy of a male in Siberia is 55. So, you know, the harsh conditions, alcoholism, immorality, the failure of socialized medicine, they just don't live very long over there. You'll find more older Native Americans than you will Siberians.
Wow. Tom, I know you're aware of this, but when Dave Hunt and I wrote the book America, the Sorcerer's New Apprentice, it was through that book that we pointed to the term shamanism and how it came from the Tungus peoples of Siberia, which, as you mentioned, is located primarily in eastern Siberia. And for those not informed, a shaman is also referred to as a medicine man, a witch doctor, or sorcerer. But what's interesting about the practice of shamanism, and you've more than alluded to it as you've been talking, Tom, the practice is very similar among widely separated tribes throughout the world, from those, you know, along the equator, the heat of the equator, to those in the frigid north where you've been. So, Tom, does that check with your experience?
Well, yes, and in fact, I made three trips into Guyana, South America, among the Mara Indians there, and found the same thing that I find in Siberia or on the Navajo Reservation. You know, here it's a medicine man, there it's a shaman, but that's about the only difference. You know, these are their spiritual leaders they go to for advice, spiritual advice, health, blessings, and so on. Interesting to me because one day we're traveling down a remote road in Siberia in a car, and I looked up on a high place. We were in a mountainous area way up high, and I could see something up there. It looked like a stone stacked up and looked like poles with flags, and couldn't tell what it was. I took my camera and zoomed it in, took a picture and drew it in, and I showed it to the two Siberians that were with me, and they said, well, we think that's a shaman altar. And they said, you want to go up there? I said, sure, I'd like to go up there. So we parked the car and hiked all the way up there. And here was the altar. They built a fire. They left Russian rubles there as gifts or sacrifices to the spirits. And then they knew exactly what went on up there. They said what they do is they build a fire. They get high on drugs and vodka. They hallucinate. Then they worship the spirits and make sacrifices to the spirits. Well, that's no different, not any difference between that and the Native American religion with the use of peyote. It's exactly the same thing. It's shamanism over there. It's Native American religion here, but it's exactly the same thing.
Right. And
you know, what's interesting is, you know, this takes place in the high places, and if you go back in the Old Testament, the kings that did evil in the sight of God, the kings of Israel, were those who made sacrifices and worshiped the spirits in the high places. For example, 2 Kings 16, you know, two or three examples of that in that chapter alone.
Mm-hmm.
Still going on in the world today.
And, of course, the use of drugs. The scripture talks about sorcery, the Greek being pharmakia, you know, pharmacy, drugs. And as you've experienced, Tom, in terms of seeing what they're doing, why, whether it be through alcohol, whether it be through peyote, now, you know, among my generation, the hippie generation, now psilocybin's coming back, the sacred mushroom. But the point of all that, folks, is that to commune with the spirits, shamans need to get into an altered state of consciousness so they can interact, communicate with the spirits, and that's their job, to be the mediator between the spirits. Of course, we're talking about demons here, and the people, and let the spirits guide and direct. But Tom, what does it tell you, seeing these disconnected people groups throughout the world, as we've mentioned, and yet the practice is common? What does that tell you, the source behind shamanism?
Well, we know Satan's the god of this world and blinded right. the minds of those who believe it's not. And you can take any truly born-again Native American or Siberian, and they will no longer have anything to do with shamanism or the medicine man or the Native American powwows or the Native American Native dances. And every one of them will tell you it's demonic, every one of them. I once said to a Native American pastor, we were at a fair doing evangelism, and they were doing a powwow over there. And I said, you know, I'm curious. I want to kind of go over there and see what's going on. He said, well, I'm not going with you. You know, he just wouldn't have anything to do with it.
Yeah.
You know, that's demonic.
But isn't it interesting also, you know, we're talking about indigenous peoples, but when the New Age movement came up and they started looking to the experiences of the shamans and now working it into the white man's culture, but through a New Age mentality, you had things like spirit quest or, you know, animals going on these spirit walks, trying to find your spirit guide, you know, in many cases was an animal. But he also had spirit huts. Do you see that as continuing to grow?
Oh, I think so. I think, you know, it even amazes me how many people of white European descent are now adopting to the Native American lifestyle instead of converting Native Americans to Christianity. We're getting people who are going the other direction.
Yeah.
And it has all to do with nature, creation, and the spirit world.
Yeah. Tom, we're about out of time for this segment, but that's what I want to talk about next week, the Lord willing, what we're up against to say, hey, wait a minute, this is problematic, especially when we have anthropologists saying that we're messing with the purity, the culture of a tribe, as though that was not only unique, but something to glorify, which we know it's not. So, again, the Lord willing. So, Tom, it's not just a matter of having to deal with a religious system, as we mentioned before, whether it be Mormonism or Roman Catholicism in terms of its influence on Native Americans, but also academia with their anthropologists. Okay, have you seen any problems that way with regard to what you're doing?
Well, you know, the Native Americans, for example, have their sacred mountains like Ship Rock and Spider Rock. You go to Siberia, they have the same thing. They have their mountains sacred. They call them by name. And in fact, in Siberia, traditionally, the toes of the boots were curled upwards so they wouldn't scuff the sacred ground. But, of course, today it's expected to have people who oppose missions to, for example, creation worshipers because of this extreme environmentalism and global warming. For many, it's a religion all of itself. It's politically correct, and it's you know, highly promoted by the media. So opposition to anything that affects nature, the earth, the creation is going to be opposed. And in my opinion, we're going back to Romans 1 where we're worshiping the creation rather than the creator, and professing to be wise, we're becoming fools.
Right.
So I think that's only going to grow with the political correct climate here in the United States. That's only going to grow here.
Right. My guest has been Tom Watson. He's the president of Bended Knee International, a missionary ministry that reaches out to, well, primarily Native people groups, both near and far, as I mentioned before. So, Tom, thanks for being with us in this segment, and I look forward to our continued discussion, the Lord willing, next week.
Thank you, Tom.
I have decided to follow Jesus.
You've been listening to Search the Scriptures 24/7, featuring T.A. McMahon, a radio ministry of the Berean Call. We offer a wide variety of resources to help you in your study of God's Word. For a complete list of materials and a free subscription to our monthly newsletter, contact us at P.O. Box 7019, Bend, Oregon 97708. Call us at 800-937-6638 or visit our website at thebereancall.org. I'm Gary Carmichael. We're glad you could join us, and we hope you can be here again next week. Until then, we encourage you to search the Scriptures 24/7.
Though none go with me, I still will follow. No turning back, no turning back.